Hello and welcome to Burning River Radio. It may sound a little bit different this week because I'm recording all by myself. I thought about doing this at a baseball game, at one of the AZL games, and decided it would be a little too weird if I tried to record something to put up permanently on the website and iTunes and all that. And I was saying things like, "And Ruben Cardenas is a single up the middle." It just wouldn't age well. And I've never done one of these without somebody else, but I figure I'm the one who does all the talking anyway, so why not just go with it? There's a couple things that I've wanted to talk about recently that I just want to get my opinions out there. It's not really fit for the website, it's not analysis, it's not information, even. It's just like I want to get my opinions out there so I can stop talking about this shit, because honestly, I'm sick of it. Right now, I'll just start with the main topic at the moment is Yandy Diaz, but it's not really Yandy Diaz, because we've had this, and Eric Haas is a secondary one right now, but we had this discussion a month ago or 2 months ago about Francisco Mejia, and we had it a year ago about Greg Allen. And we had it a year before that about Jesus Aguilar, and we had it before that about Francisco Lindor, and before that about Tyler Naquin or whatever, going on and on at in ad fin, infin, ad infinitum, just forever and ever about the Indians are holding this guy back. And an interesting thing, somebody posted the other day, I wish I had seen who did it on Twitter. They posted a lot of different stats about minor league systems, and some of it was their own personal internal stuff that they were researching. But the one thing that I was interested in more than anything else was the years to major league, and the two teams on the extreme were the White Sox were the shortest years to for a minor leaguer to get to the majors, and the Indians were the longest at 3.5 years average, and that's got to be just for major leaguers. Because I know guys who spent 3.5 years in Arizona. And that always makes me sad. I personally, I guess I'm a little impatient. But I feel there's a limited amount that you can learn in the minors as far as facing major league pitching or facing major league hitters playing on a major league baseball field. And I think if you're going to be a major leaguer, it probably shouldn't take you 3.5 years. But more importantly, I think if it's taking you 6 or 7 years, what are you even doing now? You're like, that's a long time. My daughter is going to turn 8, and for her entire life, Anderson Polanco has been in the Indians farm system. That is astounding to me. That my daughter's entire life, Juan de la Cruz, has been a member of the Indians minor league system. That's two guys for her entire life. And I mean, to me, I mean, it means something to me if you have a kid of an age, like that kind of sticks with you. I've been a parent for 8 years or whatever. It's a very, very long time. You probably remember, I mean, think about what you were doing 8 years ago. You're probably not doing the same thing. And for Mitch Brown, Kieran Lovegrove, Nelly Rodriguez, Michael Peoples, Joe Seaver, Xiao-Ching Chiang, to have spent 7 years in the minor leagues, Josh Martin, and never, I would say every single one of those guys never even came close to getting a call up, and they're still in the minors. So my first thing is, I really feel for those guys. I know this is off the topic a bit of Yandy Diaz, but it goes back to it. I really feel for these guys. Oh, and Eric Haas has been in the system for 8 years, has never been in the majors. So I really feel for these guys who have been around forever and have never gotten close. And Michael Peoples was drafted in 2012. He is not a major league pitcher. If he ever pitches, I'm not going to say he's never going to pitch in the majors because weird things happen. If he ever pitches in the majors, it'll be like a 40-man roster call up. Not he'll never pitch for the Indians. I would be willing to guarantee that now. The Indians cut him at the end of the season because he's been with the team 7 years and he becomes a free agent. Whatever. He signs on with another team. He's their September call up next year. Pitches 2 innings, allows 10 runs, and he's done. Like that's the only way he's ever getting in the majors, and it's not going to be fun. So, my first problem with the Indians farm system, although this is probably a problem with farm systems in general, more than it used to be, is why are you doing this to these people? I guess you're providing them with a profession. If you're on a 40-man roster, which Peoples is not, but Haas is, you make major league minimum or near it. I think it's like 300. Major league minimum is 500,000 to 600,000, somewhere in there. 40-man minimum is like 300,000. Whereas AAA pay is like 40,000 a year. So you're making 10 times AAA pay or around there if you're on the 40-man roster. So Eric Haas is making that. Yu Chang Chang is making that. Eric Stamets is making that. These guys are on the 40-man roster. So it's easier. You know, they're actually making some decent money. So I do understand why they stick around. And even 40,000 a year is decent. But if you're Juan de la Cruz and you're in your 8th year with the Indians and you're still in Akron and you're never going to be in the majors and you're never like, I don't understand if you're Anderson Polanco and you're on the disabled list in your 8th year and you're a free agent next year. Like, what are you doing with your life and what are the Indians doing with you? Because the Indians are never going to use Anderson Polanco. And so this leads into my, I guess I'm just tallying off names. This leads into my larger point, which is that the Indians have too many minor league teams. They don't need three rookie level teams, two Dominican teams, and then a team at every level from A up. Because if you cut those guys, I don't feel like, let's say Oscar Gonzalez, who's currently crushing it in Lake County. Or, you know, Will Benson, who isn't doing as well, or Gabriel Mejia, who is in like his 5th season in late in A level or below, or Simeon Lucas, who's in his 5th season in short season or below. 5 seasons Simeon Lucas has been with the Indians. He's in Mahoning Valley. So I would say either he's already good enough to play in Lake County. Or he's not good enough to be in the franchise. And not him personally, I say he's not good enough to be with the franchise. But you could easily get rid of the entire Arizona League Indians 2 team or Mahoning Valley, you could get rid of that team. Pick one of those rookie levels, promote a whole bunch of guys, cut a whole bunch of other guys. You don't need all of these teams because what you end up doing is just stringing these players along and then maybe you know, the better players will have more of a chance to shine. And more importantly, they would get promoted quicker. Because now what we have with Yandy Diaz in specific, he has two options left. He's 27 years old. And he can't even get an at bat in the majors. And the arguments against him are he didn't play right field this year. Well, he could have. You're wasting at bats at right field with Brandon Barnes. You know, is that really what you want to do? Is throw at bats away on Brandon Barnes and Todd Hankins in AAA? That's really going to help your team, and you're going to then say that Yandy Diaz can't play right field, but you're going to try to force Francisco Mejia when he was on the team to play right field. If you want someone to play right field, you play him in right field. And I've said this multiple times, but Miguel Yeres, who's having a great year for the AZL Indians, was a catcher last year. This year, well, last year, 2 years ago, he was only a catcher. Last year, he was a catcher and a left fielder. This year, he was only a left fielder until they decide he's going to play first base. So now he's a left fielder and a first baseman. They're doing this at the rookie level. That's where it should be done. You shouldn't be doing this in AAA, but if you have to do it in AAA, then you still do it. But I mean, you should think about this well ahead of time, like with Tyler Krieger. Tyler Krieger plays second base. They have too many second basemen. They say, okay, Tyler Krieger, you're an outfielder now. You know, it is what it is. Sometimes you have to move guys. The Indians will not need a shortstop for years. I have the feeling, even if the worst of the worst case scenarios happen and Francisco Lindor was injured, I wouldn't be surprised if they moved Jose Ramirez to shortstop. He's such a great defender, and he likes that spotlight. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that and then put Yandy Diaz or Xiao-Ching Chiang or someone like that at third base. That would be fine. But they won't need a shortstop for years, so I get moving guys' positions and do it. I just don't like the, oh, he can't do this when you haven't even given him a chance to, or he doesn't want to do this when he is doing, when like Francisco Mejia, he doesn't want to play right field. Well, he's playing right field, so I don't really care if he wants to or not. He's doing it, so that means he wants to, because he could retire. He could leave and play a year in what is it? Play a year in Canada or something. Play a year in the Dominican and then come back as a free agent and sign with somebody else and he'd be a major leaguer immediately. So I just don't like to hear that type of stuff. As far as Yandy on the major league level, what really bugs me is that every team that's ever become a dynasty, like a great team that stayed great, has always done it by renewing itself on the inside. And for years, I've wanted to write an article about the Yankees in the 1940s because the Indians, everyone knows the Indians won the World Series in 48 and then lost it in 54. But a lot of people don't pay attention that the Yankees won every single other AL pennant from like 1941 through the 1950s. And a lot of them times they played the Giants. It was like Yankees, Yankees, Indians, and then the same thing happened in the 90s where the Yankees won every AL pennant from 1996 through what? 2001 that the Indians didn't win. The Indians won in 95 and 97. The Yankees won all the other AL pennants except for those two. From 96 to 2001. And both times the Yankees were that dominant, it was because they kept bringing up young players. It wasn't like they just sat around and were like, okay, this is our guy. And you could think the most recent Yankees dynasty is probably the easiest one to pinpoint. But Jeter was a young kid. Mariano Rivera was a starter when they started that run. Posada was young. Clemens was old, so they had some veterans, but mostly they were young kids in 95, 94 coming up, and they were the ones that started winning, Bernie Williams. And then as those guys aged, they didn't stop bringing guys up really until the 2000s. And then as they got into the 2000s, they started stinking. And they were like, oh, let's buy Randy Johnson because he was good in 2001. It's like, no, that's not how you do this. You don't go buy the guy who was good. You get the guy who is going to be good. And so I think the Indians really, since Francona has taken over, have really been on the side of buy the guy who was good instead of get the guy who's going to be good. I mean, just look at these. People give Francona way too much credit for building the current roster. Of the current roster, people who were in place before Francona came, Kluber was in the rotation in 2001 or 2011, I believe. Kluber, Carrasco, McAllister, who's now gone, obviously. I think of sorry, Salazar was already signed then. Tomlin was already in the rotation then. All those guys were already in the pitching staff by 2011-ish. Brantley was in there in 2010, on the field in 2010. In 2011, they really added a ton of guys. Kipnis, Chisenhall. Most of the guys I named before were 2011. They added all those guys who would be the base of this team to come for years in 2011. 2013, they added Ramirez. That was Francona's first year managing, but he didn't add Ramirez. It's not, you have to really give credit to this front office for doing great things from 2010 through 2013, rather than credit the guy who took over the team in 2013 for putting that group together. And this generation really did start in 2013, as far as the the change in winning, but the team started in 2011. And so in 2013, you had this mostly established guys of guys who came up, group of guys that came up in 2011, and you add to that group some veterans. That was Francona's addition. It was he went out and got Nick Swisher. He went out and got Michael Bourne. And that was so exciting. And I hated it at the time. I said, what are you doing? You have more guys in the minors who could come up. Honestly, by 2013, Aguilar was pretty, it was getting close. He wasn't ready yet, but he was nearing, and you could tell, you're like, well, you don't need a first base. And Carlos Santana was obviously a big part of that. And Yan Gomes came around. I think he was around 2013 too. So you had a lot of these guys coming in to the team around then, and you're like, well, why are you gonna mess this up by throwing Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne in the mix? Like, that doesn't mesh. And I remember when Nick Swisher was traded, they were doing an interview with him on TV, and the players wouldn't, they were just having a good old time, and he's talking like he's gonna have a mental breakdown. Like, as far as he was as sad as Nick Swisher gets, he was still happy because he doesn't get sad on TV at least. But he was as sad as Nick Swisher gets, and the players behind him couldn't care less. They were so happy. And I heard a story that as soon as he got his stuff out of there, Michael Brantley took all his stuff and took Nick Swisher's locker and was just like, this is mine now. It's my team. You didn't belong here because you didn't come up with the team. It's not your team. So then the team really did take over. And they've never, you notice the best parts of it, the starting rotation, has been the best part of the team the entire time. While they came through trades, they all also came up through the Indians minor league system. Kluber, Carrasco, and Bauer all came in through great trades by the front office, but none of them went straight to the major leagues. They all had a bit of time in the minors before they came up, so that you can consider them all Indians prospects. In fact, Bauer is the only one that ever played for another team. He played a little bit because he signed a major league contract after when he was drafted. So his was a little bit different. And even since then, Mike Clevenger came through a trade as well. The only draft picks, they drafted Tomlin, Bieber, and they signed Salazar as an international free agent. So there's been a couple guys in there who weren't traded for. But all those guys came up through the Indians farm system, and they've all been here the whole time. And they were the youth movement. And the new youth movement is Shane Bieber. It is Mike Clevenger. It is Tristan McKenzie. It is Xiao-Ching Chiang. These guys coming up through the minors right now. It's not Adam Plutko. So don't worry about that, really. But my point is, like, that's the best part of the team, and you don't have to worry about that. And then you look at the next part. The infield is fantastic. But look at all these infielders who are up. The best infielders, Jose Ramirez, they signed as an international free agent. Francisco Lindor was a draft pick. Jason Kipnis was a draft pick. They were in Gomes, they got as essentially a minor leaguer. I remember fighting for Gomes to be the starting catcher when they first got him. I fought the same fight I'm fighting for Yandy Diaz for Yan Gomes because maybe it was Lou Marcin. I'm gonna have to look this one up, I guess. I don't entirely remember. I gotta look up Yan Gomes first season, but I absolutely fought the exact same fight I'm fighting now for Yandy Diaz for Yan Gomes back in 2013. He played 88 games that year. Carlos Santana was the main catcher, but that's not, he was already moving to first base. It was Lou Marcin played just a little bit in that season, and I think it was in spring training, and they were talking about Lou Marcin being the backup catcher for Carlos Santana. And ultimately, I gotta get the defensive numbers too, so I don't say something stupid. I don't have them here. Ultimately, I believe that was the year that Santana moved to first base, and then Gomes, obviously, he played in 88 games, and those are all a catcher, so he took over that role. But prior to the season starting, a lot of people did not want Gomes in that backup role. They wanted Lou Marcin because he'd been there. And the point is, you have to know these guys. You have to see what they're capable of. Look at their minor, even if you can't see them in person, look at their minor league numbers. See what they have. See what they can do. And know that, like, at the time, Lou Marcin had been with the team for years. See what Lou Marcin has done over those years and see that he's never become anything and he's not going to become anything and try something new. And this is my same argument. Let's go back a bit this year and go for Josh Tomlin over. And this is a spring training argument was Danny Salazar or like Mike Clevinger. Mike Clevinger is the perfect one. Mike Clevinger has a fantastic season. He is one of the top 10 pitchers in the American League. He was almost an all-star. Just a great year. In and out, up and down. Just perfect. Clevinger has been amazing. And he's always been amazing. I remember when he had a great season in Akron. At the end of the year, they called him up to AAA. He pitched in the playoffs and threw a no-hitter in his first appearance and got pulled in the playoffs because of a pitch count. And then pretty much almost threw a no-hitter in his second appearance in the playoffs. And then the next, it was like he had never failed. He was always great. And there were people arguing, well, Josh Tomlin has been around forever and he's this and this. And I'm like, well, we've seen Josh Tomlin's ceiling. We haven't seen Mike Clevinger's ceiling. Let's see what Mike Clevinger can be, because at Clevinger's worst, he's probably still better than Tomlin's best. But let's see. And the same thing is true about Shane Bieber and Ryan Merritt. Ryan Merritt never got a fair shake with the Indians. And all I kept hearing was, oh, he's just a left-handed Josh Tomlin. Well, first thing, left-handed pitchers fare better than right-handed pitchers, even if they were the same guy. They just have better numbers in general. Second thing, okay, but Josh Tomlin has already hit his peak and he's aging out and he's done and he's a free agent next year. Let's try the left-handed Josh Tomlin, and then we can have another Josh Tomlin for 5 years. And in 5 years, I can argue that Tristan McKenzie should be starting over Ryan Merritt. But let's move on. And these people don't ever want to move on. And I guess the argument for Yandy Diaz is not as strong as the argument, I think, for Eric Haas over Roberto Perez. And it was originally Francisco Mejia over Roberto Perez. So Perez is terrible this year. And there's a lot of people who say, oh, he's a great defender. He's not. They track catcher defense now. It's not perfect. He is very literally the worst defender in baseball at catcher. And this isn't just a numbers thing. Watch the games. I always watch the games. I watch all the games. I watch the Indians games, and I go down the street and I watch the Indians, AZL Indians games. I'm watching two games a night. So I watch the games. Believe me. For a long time, and he's been getting better lately, Roberto Perez, every time he would go to throw to second, would drop the ball on the ground. I don't know how you could possibly see this and be like, oh, that's a great defensive catcher. I don't care how many balls in the dirt he's blocking or whatever, what his pitch framing is. If you can't throw a guy out going to second, if you can't even throw the ball to second, and then when he did start throwing it, he would throw it over Kipnis's head. If you cannot get the ball to the second baseman or shortstop on a steal attempt, you are not a good defensive catcher, and the numbers reflect that, and Perez is one of the worst in baseball this year. He is also the worst offensive catcher in baseball this year. If you have the worst offensive and defensive catcher in baseball, chances are somewhere in your system you have someone who'd be better than him, or somewhere on a waiver wire somewhere that someone who's better than him. And they have Eric Haas. Eric Haas was the starting catcher for the AAA All-Star team. He is very good. He is a good defender. He has a great arm. I have seen him in person many times. He is a great defender. He has a bat that I think could translate to maybe being a 200 hitter that hits 25 home runs or something like that. He's not going to be someone that old school guys like, I don't think, as a hitter. But he's from what everything I've heard from pitchers is that he's great at calling a game. And one of the arguments for keeping Perez in was that Perez was Bauer's personal catcher. I hate that argument. That essentially is saying that you can never change catchers ever if you have the same pitching staff. The only way you could change catchers is if you change pitchers at the exact same time. Which is crazy because Carlos Santana was 4 out of 5 guys' personal catcher when he was catcher, and they had no problem moving him to first base. And you could say it's because he was a bad catcher. That's fine. Perez is also a bad catcher. So it's not like that's something different here. Yan Gomes is a very good defensive catcher, and he's one of the better offensive catchers in the league right now as well. So you can't use that same argument for Yan Gomes and say Corey Kluber, but Corey Kluber doesn't really care if Yan Gomes is catching. Corey Kluber is going to be a good pitcher no matter who's catching. It really is not important. And just think about the relief pitchers. Do they really care who's catching? Are they better when one guy's behind the plate of the other? A pitcher is a pitcher. In the end, the pitcher is choosing the pitches they throw, because if the catcher puts it on a sign they don't like, they shake their head and then they throw something else. And before the game starts, they all talk about what they're going to throw anyway. So it's not like they're coming. It's not like the catcher is making up the strategy on the fly mid-game. They've all had meetings about this for weeks prior to the game starting. That it's silly to think that any particular catcher is that important to any particular pitcher. So the other side of that is, okay, fine. Bauer's having a great season. He usually pitches to Perez. Bieber is also having a great season. He has mostly pitched to Cignar Flupstock this year. That's where he had his best numbers. His best numbers were in Double A, pitching to Cignar Flupstock. Flupstock is currently suspended by the team indefinitely. So obviously that's out. But in Triple A, he threw to Eric Haas a lot, and he threw to Francisco Mejia a lot. And he threw to both of them more than he's thrown to Roberto Perez. Yet the other day, Roberto Perez was catcher for Shane Bieber. Why? If it's so important, especially for a young pitcher who's growing up, to be caught by either a great catcher like Yan Gomes or the catcher that always catches him, why wasn't Eric Haas called up to become his permanent catcher when Bauer went on the DL? If the only reason Perez was on the team was because he was Bauer's personal catcher, why not send Perez down to AAA, call up Haas, and give Haas a chance? And the reason is because it never had anything to do with Bauer's personal catcher. Just like Yandy not playing right field doesn't have to do with Yandy not being able to play right field. And Francisco Mejia moving to right field didn't have to do with him not being able to be catcher. I think none of this has anything to do with anything. It all has to do with Terry Francona wanting to keep his best friends club together. And I really do think it's going to hurt the franchise. Now, luckily, the Indians front office has been incredible in recent seasons. And to put together, and I give them the credit over giving the credit directly to the athletes, because Francisco Lindor was going to be an all-star shortstop wherever he played. But the Indians drafted him, and they did not draft him first overall. So there were other teams that could have drafted him, and if the Indians didn't draft him, somebody else would have after, and he would be an all-star for their team. And Jose Ramirez was going to sign somewhere, and he was a great player from Lake County on. So I think he probably would have been the player he is wherever he had signed. So I'm giving their credit to the front office for saying that the front office has been so good that it traded for, it traded junk. It traded Jake Westbrook in his final season, and brought in Corey Kluber. It traded 2 years, a year and a half of Cliff Lee for Carlos Carrasco. It traded a half, less than half a season of CC for Michael Brantley. Like they have made these great deals. They've had a lot of terrible drafts, but they've had enough good drafts. Taking Kipnis and Chisholm in back-to-back seasons were good drafts. Naquin was a decent draft. There are so many guys who are first-round picks that never make it to the majors that if you can be a fourth outfielder in the majors, I'm going to call that a good draft. You might not be a superstar, but it's still good. So when you have that good drafting, which Bieber was only drafted about 2 years ago, they shot him through the system. That's how I think they should treat a lot more guys. But you got that good drafting and that good signing and the good trainings, and it's led to a team that you can't fuck up. Like the athletes on this team are so good that Francona can't fuck it up as much as he tries. But it still bugs me because the team could be better, one, because I think easily Yandy Diaz is a better defender in outfield than Melky Cabrera, and he's a better hitter than Melky Cabrera. And Eric Haas is a better defender than Roberto Perez, and he's a better hitter than Roberto Perez. So those are just two moves they could make immediately, where I think they're vastly improving the team. They're hanging around with Josh Tomlin, and I'm saying right now in the middle of August, September 1st, Josh Tomlin's going to be on this roster. because the only reason he's on the DL is because he sucks so bad that they don't want to waste a 25-man roster spot. But they love him so much. He is not in the top 40 Indians players. He's not. He does not deserve to be on this team ever again. He doesn't deserve to be on any baseball team ever again. He is a terrible pitcher. He went from being a pretty good pitcher to being an absolutely terrible pitcher. Awful. I mean, they cut Zach McAllister, which was finally, how many home runs do we have to see this guy give up? But they won't cut Tomlin because they love him. They just love him as a person. And I can understand that you like these guys, but how long are you going to stick with him? I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the season. Are you going to sign him back again? Are you going to bring him back in as a coach? Is he going to try to pitch somewhere else? Because I don't think anyone else would take him at this point. I think at the beginning of the season they might have, but he was so bad early this year that I can't imagine another team taking him. All right, I didn't want to spend that much time on that discussion, but I would just like that's the whole point is I would like to see them move on to the new blood because a lot of these guys are becoming free agents. McAllister was cut right before he became a free agent. Tomlin's a free agent. Brantley's a free agent. Chisenhall's a free agent. You're moving to the point where all these guys are going to be leaving, and now they're like, oh my God, who's going to take their place? And they go out and sign Yonder Alonso, and they sign Edwin Encarnacion. And they signed Melky Cabrera and Rajay Davis. And I would much rather see them say, oh, we actually had some really good drafts here. Instead of doing that, let's bring up Bobby Bradley in 2019. Instead of signing Yonder Alonso to a long deal, let's bring up Bobby Bradley. Instead of forcing Perez out there every day when, they both Perez and Gomes are signed long term, but instead of forcing Perez out there, he has options left. Send him back down. Let's bring up Haas and see what Haas can do. Let's see what Allen can do playing every day. And we're seeing Greg Allen is actually a really good outfielder, which people didn't know because they didn't watch him in the minors. But a lot of us did know that he was a great outfielder. Let's even see like what Mike Poppy has. Maybe he's having a decent season in AAA. He's in his fifth season with the Indians. If he can't make it now, he's probably not going to make it ever. And in 2 years, we're going to be talking about him like I talked about those other guys in the open. So let's see what they have in the majors right now. And maybe Mike Poppy is your Lonnie Chisenhall of next year. But you can't tell unless you try. So I really wish they would try that, and they don't, and they never do. And I think it's 100% on Terry Francona because the front office of Chris Antonetti, Mike Chernoff are the ones drafting and signing these guys. And I can't believe that they're spending millions of dollars signing these guys. And they don't ever want to see them in the major leagues. You really think that they drafted Bobby Bradley, saw him win a Triple Crown and MVP, saw him hit home runs at every single level, succeed at every single level, and they don't want to see him in the major leagues? I think they absolutely do, but Terry Francona doesn't. You think they brought in Eric Haas, they drafted him and moved him up every level and have paid him for 8 years because they wanted to see him be a AAA catcher? No, I believe that Antonetti and Chernoff want to see Eric Haas in the majors, but that Terry Francona is the true person who runs this team and that he's keeping that stuff from happening. Same thing, Francisco Mejia, I have to imagine they didn't want to trade him, that they would want to bring him up and have him become the starting catcher. But it just wasn't happening. I get maybe I'm making all this up, but I hate to see that happen where you sign this guy, you see him become one of the best, a top 10 prospect in all of baseball at a position where that's so important at catcher, and then you just trade him for a couple relievers. And yes, they need a couple relievers this year, but you know what everybody needs? A switch hitting catcher that gets on base constantly, can hit for power. Like that's much more important. So in the long term. So to trade away the future, and I'm fine with that trade. I mean, one of those trades is fine. They still have Haas. Haas could be a starting catcher in the majors. He could be a backup catcher in the majors. He could be Roberto Perez. He could be a little better. He could be a little worse. Let's see what he is. So I'm okay with them trading one guy. I'm absolutely fine with them trading Willy Castro. I don't think he ever was going to play for the Indians. Connor Capel, I don't think was ever going to play for the Indians. So those trades don't bother me at all. But the treatment of these guys coming up, and I guess I'll say the reason why it bothers me so much is because, one, I want the team to be as be the best it could possibly be. But maybe more so is because I've been watching these guys, and Seinfeld had a joke years ago, and no one listens to Seinfeld anymore. But he had he, one of his jokes years ago was essentially the punchline was you're rooting for Laundry because the guy's on your team and you root for him, and then he gets traded, and now you hate him. Or he becomes a free agent, he signs somewhere else, and now you hate him. But when he or he, then he comes back to your team and you're rooting for him again. So you're not really rooting for the player, you're rooting for Laundry. I don't like to root for Laundry. I don't live in Cleveland anymore. When I was in high school, I hated my high school team, and I was very open about it. I said I did not pick this high school. It's the one that was close to my house. So I went to this high school, and I did not root for them. I did not root for the Browns growing up because they didn't exist for a few years when I started watching football. And then they came back, and I was like, no, I'm not going to root for them. I'm okay. I feel like, and then I did root for my college teams because I picked them. I feel like you picked them. And I feel like you can grow up in Cleveland and not root. You could be like LeBron, grow up in Akron and root for the Yankees and Cowboys. You can do that. Most people choose the team that's closest because it's convenient. But you do, in a sense, you pick your team. Even if you were born there, you still pick your team. And so I live in Arizona now, and I still root for the Indians, and I still watch the Indians every single night. As I said, sometimes twice in the same night. And to me, if the Indians, let's say they pulled off a bunch of trades, and one of the trades they talked about in real life was getting Bryce Harper. It was rumored for a minute, and then they said that Washington backed down on it. Initially, they had said the Indians wouldn't trade Shane Bieber for him, which is insane. Absolutely, if you can trade Shane Bieber for Bryce Harper, you do it. Shane Bieber is not going to be a top three starter for the Indians. He's a four or five starter. He's very good. He's a four or five starter for the Indians. Like Tristan McKenzie is an ace. Eli Morgan might be an ace. Shane Bieber is not an ace. He's not. It's fine. You can get rid of him for Bryce Harper. But let's say they did do that. Let's say they got Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve and Giancarlo Stanton, and they just did that, and they got all these superstars, and they won the World Series. I would not feel good. I guess I'd be happy with it, but I would not feel good about that World Series. To me, that wouldn't be the Indians winning the World Series. That would be kind of like LeBron when he went to the Heat and it was the League of Super Best Friends and they won the championship. It was like, yes, you won, but of course you did. You handpicked the best players in the league. You went there. Well, Dwayne Wade was already there, but you brought in Chris Bosh, and like you went there specifically because you're like, let's make a super team. And I guess the more current thing is the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, Kevin Durant, congratulations. You won a ring. Like, that's really hard to go to a team that's already the best team in basketball. Best team, not the best. They didn't have the best individual, but they had the best team. And you're the second best player in basketball, and you go there and you win. So to me, that's kind of what the Yankees did this year when they already had a really solid team. And they're like, oh, let's just, I don't know, add a couple more. How about the best hitter in baseball? How about we do that other than Mike Trout? Let's go ahead and get Giancarlo Stanton and add him. To me, that's not in the sense of that's not it's fair, but that's not who I want to root for. I want to root for Jason Kipnis and Yan Gomes and Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor and the guys I watched come up through the minor league system. I want them to succeed. And so these guys coming up now, like Bobby Bradley, like Xiao Chang. I saw these guys play in 2014 together and win a championship, and it was awesome. And now I'm seeing them sit in AAA and possibly have their entire futures thrown away because we have to watch Yonder Alonso and Edwin Encarnacion just go out there and do okay. They're not doing amazing. This is the swan song of their career. They're going down. I'd much rather see the guys coming up. And to me, Encarnacion is a pirate or a blue jay. He's not really an Indian. Alonso is as an athletic. I like they don't. Melky Cabrera isn't everything. He's not a long-term Indian. If they win a ring because of Melky Cabrera, just the same thing when Rhaji Davis hit that home run. It's like that's nice, but he's a hired gun. It's not this guy I've been watching for years. I'd much rather watch the rotation of Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, Clevinger win a World Series than some random five than, you know, Kershaw and Archer and whoever else, you know, you just pick five guys from around the league and throw them together because they were available or they were good. Like I just don't want to see that. It's not interesting to me. It's not entertaining to me. I'd much rather see these guys. And I'll end with this. This is as long as our two-person episodes, and it was just me rambling on the whole time. My last thing is somebody the other day came to me again with the bullshit remark of you cannot criticize an MLB manager if you have not been one. And my response to that, and this will be my response forevermore, is then I better never hear your opinion on a movie if you haven't directed or acted, a TV show, music, if you've never been a professional musician. I don't want to hear your opinion on how a building looks if you're not an architect. I don't, like, it's so insane. How could, of course you have opinions. I said earlier, I watch two baseball games every day, and it doesn't end in October. Then I go to instructional games. Then I go to Arizona Fall League games. Then spring training for me starts like Valentine's Day. So I take December and January off, and then I'm right back into it in February. I'm watching baseball 10 months out of the year. I think I know when a baseball player is good and when he isn't good by now. I've been doing this since I was five. I've been watching 10 months a year since I was five, but I mean, I've been watching baseball for a very long time. I've spent, they talk about the 10,000 hours thing. I am a pro at watching baseball. I have seen it all. I've seen a ton of things. I can tell you who is a great player who's done, I've looked at the stats. I've spent, it has to be thousands of hours poring over baseball stats when games aren't on. I'm aware from the stats who is good and who is not good, and I can make some predictions. I can't, no one can predict perfectly how somebody's going to play in the future, but I can see a guy who's in his late early 30s and is not playing as well as he did a couple of years ago, that chances are this is going to get worse, not better. And a guy who's playing incredibly well at Double A, that maybe he should be playing at Triple A. And a guy who's playing incredibly well at Triple A, maybe he should be in the majors. Unless he's a 35-year-old playing in Triple A, in which case, maybe it's because he's so much older that he knows more than the guys in Triple A, but he does not know more than the guy in the majors. So you don't want him in the majors. So when I question something, it's coming from that experience that I have. And another aspect of it is I'm not saying I know more than Terry Francona. Terry Francona has also been in baseball his entire life. He's played much more baseball at a much higher level than me, obviously. His father was one of the best Indians. I'll call him a utility man. He played multiple positions. But I mean, he was on my ranking list when I was doing the top 10 rankings at every position. Tito Francona, the real Tito Francona, OG Tito Francona, is on those lists. He's one of the greatest Indians ever. Terry was not as good of a player, and I think that we always said that about Eric Wedge, that the reason why Eric Wedge loved utility guys, and he was always trying to shove utility guys into the lineup every day. And we said that is because he was a backup catcher, and he understood what it felt like to sit on the bench. And I think Terry Francona is the same way. He was a utility man. He knows what it's like to sit on the bench, and he doesn't want to be that guy. So he puts those guys in. So I'm not saying I'm smarter than Terry Francona. I'm saying I have different ideals than he does. Yes, he wants to win a World Series, and I want the Indians to win a World Series. But he also wants to make his friends happy, and I don't give a shit about his friends. I think a lot of his friends could be cut yesterday, and the team would be better off without them. And he may even agree with that, but he's not going to recommend that to Chris Antonetti or Mike Chernoff because they're his friends. So he's going to do all he can to keep them around. And I think ultimately, Maybe this is just me being crazy. And if I'm crazy, then a lot of the people who read my website are crazy. The people on Twitter are crazy. The people who, are on the radio are crazy. The people who are writing about this team online are crazy. Because a lot of us agree that Yandy Diaz should be starting every single day somewhere, whether it's in right field or as DH or whatever. He should be starting every single day. And a lot of us agree that Eric Haas should be in the major leagues. And a lot of us agree that Greg Allen should have been the starting center fielder the whole season for the Indians and never should have been sent down to AAA. But obviously, the Indians don't agree with that. So whether it's Francona on his own or whether he has everybody's together, I think at some point there's got to be a turning point on this where the front office has to say, okay, you had fun with your friends. Now we have to play these guys. Or at some point, the Indians are just going to fall apart. Maybe it's in 2022, so it's no big deal. But the crash is going to come if they don't work some of these new guys into the lineup more often. You cannot just go with the same old guys because then you go into that situation, and now next year, this offseason, you're going to have people saying, oh, they need to bring up. They need to sign a bunch of free agent relief pitchers. They need to sign a. Well, how come Xiao-Ching Chiang and Kieran Lovegrove and Henry Martinez and Josh Martin, who are all having great years, how come none of them have pitched in the bullpen for the Indians this year? Martin, Chiang, and Lovegrove are all in their seventh season and will all become free agents at the end of the year if they're not added to the 40-man roster. Martinez is in his fifth year, so he's not that far off. How come they're not trying these guys out now when they're 12 games ahead in the fucking division, when they're killing everybody they're playing, when they play these teams like the Reds and the White Sox and the Twins? They're just destroying them. It's not even fair. They shouldn't, they're in a completely different league. Why aren't they trying out these young pitchers? If you're going to be like next year, you're going to say, oh, we need to sign a free agent. No, you didn't. You have them, they're there. Try them out. You're going to say, oh, we need outfielders. Or really, what about Mike Poppy? What about Connor Maribel? What about Andrew Kalika, even though he's a bit younger? What about these guys? Why aren't you trying it? What about Yandy Diaz? Try them out when you can. You can in July and August when you have a 12 fucking game lead over the division. That's when you can try them out. Instead, they're going to say, no, we have to keep running Melky Cabrera and Rajay Davis out there. And we have to keep playing Yonder Alonso every single day, even though he sucks against left-handed pitching. And next year, they're going to go, oh, we can't. We have to win games in April. April games are as important as those of September. We got to win early, so we can't try him out in April. And then the next year, they're going to go, oh, we can't try him out. We got this veteran free agent we brought in, and this guy, and this guy. And by the time Kipnis is a free agent, Yandy Diaz is going to be 30 fucking years old. And they're going to say, oh, he's too old. We don't care. And he's going to be out of options before then. And that's what drives me nuts about this. And that's same thing. Giovanni Ursula and Eric Gonzalez at the beginning of the year. That decision should not have been made in March 2018. That decision should have been made in 2016. But they were fucking around with Michael Martinez. And he's still on the roster. I still see him down at the AZL game. So I know he's still around. They want to bring him back so bad, and I keep hearing him talk on TV on STO. Oh, you need a veteran to be the utility man. No, you don't. That's a perfect spot to get a rookie in there. These guys don't want to be playing in Columbus. They don't give a shit about Columbus. They want to be playing in the major leagues. I guarantee you, Yandy Diaz would rather play once a week at third base, second base, wherever he's needed in the majors than step foot in Columbus ever again. I hope that should be the question. Go ask Yandy Diaz. Would you rather play once a week in the majors or every day in the AAA? I really wonder what his answer is going to be. And I think they'd be better for it. And they're all amazed when Eric Gonzalez gets a hit. And it's like, yes, because that's what he is. That's who he should be. He's a AAA starter or a major league utility man. Let him be the major league utility man. All right. That's probably too much, and I've got 10 more topics I could cover, but I'll try to get a co-host on next time. As it stands now, make sure you check out burningriverbaseball.com. We have gone from a major league site to a minor league site mostly, It's largely weekly recaps. I've been doing. I'm trying to do more profiles now that the season's coming towards an end. I just did one on Giante Turner. I love Giante Turner. He is one of my favorite players from this year's draft. Read about him. I'm going to do one soon about Yainer Diaz. I ran a poll the other day on Twitter asking who people wanted to see. People want to see Yainer Diaz, and I agree with them. He's a very interesting catcher. So I will be doing one on him. End of the season, minor league reviews. Learn about these guys now so you can learn to care about them. So when they don't make it to the majors in 7 years, you can be angry about it too. That's all for me. We'll catch you next time. This has been Joe Koblitz on Burning River Radio.